This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you wholeheartedly once again to my daily discussion, talk, discourse before iftar on the topic of family disputes, causes and the solutions. Those of you who've been following the discourses, you know that, alhamdulillah, over the past few days we've discussed four major root causes, four main causes of friction, four main causes of family disputes and social disputes generally. You must remember them, and the solutions as well. And I hope everybody, those who've been listening, I hope you do remember you have these causes and solutions in mind, because then there are practical steps that need to be taken in order to avoid disputes, argumentation and conflicts and friction within the home, within our families and socially. Four causes we discussed in great depth and detail. Now we move on today to cause number five. The fifth cause for family disputes and the fifth major reason because of which we have a lot of argumentation, friction, disputes within our families is because of selfishness. Selfishness, being selfish. That's a major cause for family disputes. Being selfish, being self-centered. And the opposite of that, the solution of that, is what we call إيثار. إيثار. آثر إيثار. ويؤثرون. يؤثرون على أنفسهم. Allah mentions this in the Quran regarding the Sahaba. Which means giving preference to other people. Having the interest of other people in our minds and hearts over and above our own interests. So the main cause number five for family disputes is being selfish, being self-centered. Now this is based on the hadith, dear listeners, a famous hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih collection. Likewise, Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih collection from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a khadim of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِهِ. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you can be a complete believer. None of you can be a complete mu'min right? You can't be a complete believer until you don't like for your brother what you like for yourself, until, which means your sister as well, until you do not love and like for your fellow Muslim brother or sister that which you like for your own self, right? Now this hadith is an amazing hadith. It's a qa'idah, it's a general principle of Islam, that we must not be selfish. Being selfish and being self-centered, when only I matter, me, myself and I, when only things relating to me matters and not the other party, then this results in friction and problems and disputes and argumentation. Because every one of us, in every relationship, what happens? Everybody's concerned about their own selves. This hadith, you cannot be a complete believer. Do not be selfish. If a person is selfish, the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that a selfish person, a selfish individual, a self-centered person cannot even be a complete mu'min. Cannot be a complete mu'min believer. The wording in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, لا يبلغ عبد حقيقة الإيمان حتى يحب للناس للناس ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. The hadith in the Musnad of Ahmad, the wording, similar meaning, but a different hadith, a different wording. A slave cannot reach the level of the real haqiqah of iman. A slave cannot reach the reality of iman until he does not like for people. Significantly here in this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, linnasi. The first one, which was in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, li-akhihi. You don't like for your brother, right? You don't like for your brother that which you like for yourself, until you do not love for your brother. In this riwayah, in this narration, in the narration of Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the narration found in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu, until he doesn't like for humanity, Muslim, non-Muslim included, linnasi. We like hidayah and guidance for ourselves, so we should like hidayah and guidance and iman for our non-Muslim friends as well. Until he doesn't love for humanity that which he loves for himself of goodness. So a person cannot even be a complete believer if he or she is selfish or self-centered. Seriously, you cannot even be a complete believer. لا يؤمن أحدكم. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you cannot be a complete believer. And in order to enter Jannah, we have to have the quality of ithar, of preference. There's a hadith, again in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu, from a sahabi called Yazid bin Asad al-Qushayri. He said, قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتحب الجنة. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said to me, do you like Jannah? Do you want Jannah? Do you want to enter paradise? Do you wish to enter paradise? قلت نعم. I said, O Messenger of Allah, of course, yes. قال, he said, أحب لأخيك ما تحب لنفسك. Subhanallah. He said, if you want to enter Jannah, then love for your fellow Muslim brother, love for your brother that which you love for yourself. أحب لأخيك ما تحب لنفسك. Love for your brother or sister what you love for yourself. And this is exactly what is mentioned in another hadith, أحب للناس ما تحب لنفسك. Again, the word للناس in this hadith is لأخيك. أحب لأخيك, love for your brother what you love for yourself. And in the other variation, love for humanity, for people, for mankind, what you love for yourself. This is in order to become a complete believer. A Muslim should be such. A complete believer is the one when he is happy by seeing his fellow Muslim brother, sister happy. And when he sees someone in distress, he feels distressed. What he likes for himself, he likes for his fellow Muslim brother. What she likes for herself, likes for her sister. Especially and specifically within family. Within family relationships. And this was a quality of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So anyway, one of the major root causes of our family disputes, brothers and sisters, is the fact that many of us, we do not possess, unfortunately, the quality of ithar, of giving preference to other people. We are selfish, we are self-centered, it's only me, myself, and I only matter, and it's only me and my interests and my desires and what makes me happy and how much money I can make, whether it's at the... Unfortunately, we live in this situation and time and era when it's just one's own self-interest and personal concern. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Seriously, nothing else matters. This materialistic lifestyle that we live in, it's only me, my money, my wealth, my well-being, my health, and nobody else. And whether if that comes, if money comes and arrives, if my health comes and arrives, if my prosperity in this world arrives at the expense of other people, let it be. That's the type of world we're living in. And this is being selfish. And all our problems is because of that, being selfish. Major root cause. You see, our whole Islam, our whole deen, a religion of Islam, is based on not harming anyone. Our whole religion of Islam and deen is based on this qa'idah. If somebody was to mention a principle of the rules of mu'ashara of Islam, then you would bring a hadith. The famous hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A believer is the one from whose hands and from whose mouth, from whose actions, from whose statements, no Muslim is harmed. Now that's the qa'idah, that is a principle. And I've mentioned this on many occasions. The principle of being a good Muslim is that no human being, Muslim or non-Muslim, or animal, without any justification, is harmed by your statement or by your actions. Right? That's the principle. We have to live in a situation, in a way, in a manner. We must interact with people. We must talk and converse with people. We must interact with people in such a manner that no person, human being, this is the meaning of this hadith, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. No believer, a Muslim, a true believer is the one from whose hands, from whose actions, from whose statements, nobody is harmed. Whether physically, whether spiritually, whether emotionally, in any way, shape or form, we should be such. Our interaction, our behavior, our communication, our statements should be such that no human being or animal is harmed without any justification. Should not be harmed, whether it's physical harm, whether it's spiritual harm, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, psychological, in any way, shape or form, we are not supposed to harm anyone. That's the basic principle and qa'idah of our religion, Islam. Now, the question is, how do we find out? What's the criteria? What's the standard? What's the mi'yar? What we call mi'yar. What is the criteria? This is a very important point, brothers and sisters. Please, you know, listen to this carefully. I need your attention on this, really. What did I say? The basic principle of Islam is that we must be such in this world that no human being, close or distant or far, Muslim or non-Muslim, Muslim or non-Muslim, animal or human, is harmed, but I'm saying unjustifiably, you know, without any justification, is harmed. Because sometimes there are certain justifications, there are certain rules, there are certain things that you might defend yourself, etc., etc., and somebody might be harmed. So that's another incident, and that's another story, and that's another scenario. But in normal, general situations, without any justification, no Muslim, no human being, Muslim or non-Muslim or animal, should be harmed from our statements, from our actions, whether it's physical harm, emotional harm, psychological harm, spiritual harm, mental, in any way, shape or form. Now, that's how we need to live. Now the question comes, listen to this carefully, the question comes, how do we judge, how do we realize, how do we know, how do we understand, how do we decide whether others are being harmed by us or not? That's the question. What is the criteria? What is the معيار, what is the criterion, what is the standard, how do we judge, is there something, do we have a thermometer to, you know, kind of decide? The answer to this question, that how do we detect and how do we know and how do we come to realize that people are being harmed or not from us, the question, the answer to that question is that the mi'yar, the standard, is what I was just talking about, the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? You cannot be a complete believer until you don't love for your brother what you love for yourself. أَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. أَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Love for humanity, for mankind, what you love for yourself. So the answer is, the criterion and the standard is that in every situation, in every scenario, in every relationship, always, for a moment, listen to this carefully, for a moment, dear brothers and sisters, put yourself in the shoes and the boots of the other person who is standing on the other side. Put yourself on the other side of the fence. That is the criteria and that is the standard and that is the mi'yar. If you put yourself on the other side and think for a moment, the way I am dealing with that person, if I was standing there and somebody else was dealing with me, would I be happy or not to be dealt in that manner? That's the standard. Seriously, that is the criterion. And that's the way to judge. And that's the way to realize whether someone is being harmed or not. This is the mi'yar. This is the standard. If somebody was to deal with me like this, this is what we call it. See, the cause is being selfish. The solution for avoiding all these family disputes and problems is to have the quality of ithar. Remember this word, it's an amazing word, one of the golden words of Islam. Ithar. In Arabic, you'll have alif, ya, tha, alif, and ra. Ithar. If you want to spell it out in English, maybe I-T-H-A-R. Ithar. Giving preference to other people. It's the opposite of being selfish. It's the opposite of being self-centered. Right? It's the opposite of being self-centered. Ithar. And this is what ithar means. To put oneself in the shoes of the other and then take the action. Always put your own self on the other side of the fence. In every kind of relationship. But the problem today is that every one of us, we, me included, we are all such that we only think about our own selves. If there's a relationship between an employer and an employee, the employer is always thinking about himself. And the employee is always just thinking about his own self. You know, the employees working always, they remember, you know, if they know their own rights. They go on strike and this strike and that strike. And if they're Muslims, then remember the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَعْطُ الْأَجِيرَ أَجْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجُفَّ عِرْقَهُ. Make sure you give the wages to the employee before his, you know, sweat becomes dry. He knows that hadith and he'll remember that hadith and he'll go on strike and he'll ask and demand and request for a pay rise and all of that. But will he ever think that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, he knows the hadith that he said that give the employee's wages before his sweat becomes dry, but he doesn't think about whether he's sweating or not, whether he's actually put in the work or not, whether if he has an 8-hour shift, did he waste 10 minutes, 5 minutes of that time or not? Because we don't think about our own duties and responsibilities. We just think about our demands, our rights. It's only me, myself, I, what I want. I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, and what I want. Earlier on, the ulama, the pious people, you know what? They used to actually give wages back. They said, oh, somebody called me on the phone, and 5 minutes I spent out of my work, duty, time. 5 minutes I used it in some other activity. Hence, I'm paying money back, giving back to the employer. One, they used to make hisab and take account of every minute. They would ensure that not a penny came to them in a haram, in an unlawful manner. Because they would put themselves on the employer's shoes. And likewise the employer as well. The employer will remember all the hadiths and know that, okay, yes, you know, the employees, they need to work hard and they should, you know, earn their money and they should not waste their time and this and that. But they never think that, well, if I was an employee, would I want my employer to deal with me in this way? So the employer, you need to put yourself for a moment in the shoes of the employee before you treat your, and you deal with your employees. Before an employer deals with his employees for a moment in time, for a short period of time, put yourself in the shoes of an employee. Think. And remember, you may have been an employee, right? All the employers, they work in the beginning and then they employ people. If you've employed people and you used to be employed yourself before, think, when you were employed, how did you want your boss to treat you? But the problem is that when we are employed and we are working for other people, we don't think, we just think about our own self. And then if we become a boss of a business and we employ other people, then we don't think about them, we think from our angle. This is all being selfish. This is what the point of this hadith is. Every relationship, we are all demanding our rights, 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 my right, my right, my right. What about the responsibility and the right you have to give? You know, a very famous a small story and an anecdote which one of my teachers, Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, mentions in some of his books. That there was this individual. You know what his habit was? His habit was that every time when he used to be invited to someone's house for food or whatever, the moment he used to knock on the door and enter the house, the first question would be, what have you cooked? What's for food? MashaAllah, can I smell something? Kya pakaya? You know, what have you cooked? Is there something, you know, what do you have? What's cooking in the kitchen? And any time when someone used to come and visit him, he used to open the door and then start looking at the hands. Oh, have you brought some food with you? Some bags with you? What have you brought with you? SubhanAllah. It's like always wanting, 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 never giving. It's always, this is an example of a person who does not act upon the hadith that I've just recited in front of you of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You cannot be a complete believer until you love for yourself or you love for your fellow Muslim brother. أحب لأخيك أحب للناس ما تحب للناس لنفسك. Love for your brother, love for humanity, what you love for yourself. So I was saying, in every relationship, the relationship between an employer and an employee, between a landlord and a tenant, seriously, same scenario. When a person is a landlord, we have so many problems connected to landlords and tenants within Muslims. I mean, I know myself, as you know, because I deal with a lot of kind of issues of people's conflicts and disputes, and then they come to ask fatwa that this happened and is this halal, or he's asking for this, his demand. But, you know, all these disputes, brothers and sisters, can be avoided if the landlord for a moment thinks that, you know what, if I was a tenant, how would I want my landlord to deal with me? And the tenant thinks for a moment that if I was a landlord, then how would I want my tenant to deal with me? If we were to just, all of us were to think like that, most of our problems would disappear. Always putting yourself in the shoes of the other and giving preference to the other person. His interests. You know, the issue, the problem is that we have two criterions, we have two scales to judge. We have made two standards. One standard for us and one standard to judge others. That's what's happened. We've made two standards. One for our own selves and one for the other person. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guiding us. Islam tells us and guides us that only have one scale of judgment, only one standard. You judge your own self and the other person on the same scale, based on the same criteria. Always think like that. Like this. Think for a moment that if somebody was to deal with me like this, would I be happy or would I be upset? Would I be pleased or would I be in a sad sorrow state? Think. If you think that, look, if somebody was to deal with me like this and I would be upset, then stop dealing with other people and treating other people like that. Every relationship, we talked about the employer and the employee relationship, the landlord and the tenant. Relationship. Problems after problems, disputes after disputes. Why? Because the landlord only is concerned about his monthly rental. And he's concerned about his house, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and he doesn't care about a lot of things. But imagine if you were a tenant, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give you a property, and if you were a tenant, and you were living and paying rent, wouldn't you want your landlord to treat you well? Wouldn't you want your landlord to look after certain issues here and there and have an interest? And if there's something was wrong, then say, okay, look, I'll sort this out for you and things like that and take care of the property and take care of you. Wouldn't you want that? So do the same for your tenant. And as a tenant, if you are being difficult in dealing and treating your landlord and dealing with your landlord and paying your monthly rental, then think for a moment that if Allah gave you a property that you really worked hard for and struggled and strived and you gathered money, or maybe you've got a loan that you've taken, interest-free inshallah, not a mortgage, interest-free loan, and you've purchased a house, and you've really struggled to get this property, and you need the money to pay for your bills and to pay off your loans and to, you know, feed your family, think for a moment that you've got a tenant who's always, you know, he pays and then he doesn't pay on time, and then he pays and then he doesn't pay on time, and then he's, you know, ruining your house and he's breaking this and breaking that. How would you feel? So always put your own self in the position of the other. Look at the relationship of the husband and the wife, the spouses. A husband must put, disputes happen between, you know, the spouses, because husband thinks about his own self, his own interests, his own rights. What about the rights to give? He doesn't think about that. The wife, likewise. What are my rights? What are my demands? What does the husband owe me? What do I have to give? We don't think about that. You know, once I gave a talk, maybe, and a course. I mean, I've given a lot of courses on marriage issues and the husband-wife relationship. When I had a talk on the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife, حقوق الزوج and حقوق الزوجة, as an introduction in the beginning, I said, look, we have some couples here. We had couples who attended the course. The husband should listen from the perspective of not what, okay, let me learn the rights of a husband so that when I go home, I tell my wife that, you know what, yeah, I have this right and I have this right and I have this right, and you must do this and you have to do this and you have to do that. And the wife's probably listening, making notes of all the rights, you know, of the wife. That, yeah, when I go back, I'll tell my husband that, you know what, I don't have to even do this for you, and you have to do this for me, and I don't even have to do this for you. I said, if we take that intention, if you listen with that intention, there's no benefit. No benefit whatsoever. A husband should listen and learn about the rights of his wife, the responsibilities that he has. And the wife should learn about her responsibilities towards her husband. Always put yourself in the shoes of the other. Problem solved. Parents and children. Same scenario. The parents, and I'm sorry to say, some of our parents, the only verses of the Quran that they know, you know, they know all the verses. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Those verses, they know them. That your Lord has decreed, worship none except Him and treat your parents well. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ أَحْسَانًا. We have decreed upon man to treat his parents well and say and lower the wing of humility and this and that. Some parents, seriously, the only verses they know of the Quran are these kind of verses. They just know about their own rights. Have they learned about their responsibilities towards their children? They don't think about that. my children have to respect me, obey me, obedience, and this and that. And those are the only verses they know. But what about the way the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged parents to give the rights of the children, treat them well, give them love, give them respect, give them attention, give them care, kiss them. Always kiss your children. I actually did a talk on this a couple of months ago. There was a conference in Toronto in Canada, and my title was Building the Bridges, Building the Bridge Between Parents and Children. I gave like an hour talk. I spoke half an hour about the parents' duties, half an hour on the children's duties, and I spoke about parents, what kind of duties they have towards their children, of bringing them up with love, with affection, with a lot of love that they exhibit and show, and good Islamic tarbiyah, moral upbringing. So, parents, put yourself once in the shoes of your children. That remember, and you were children. It wasn't too long ago. You were a son or a daughter and you had parents. Remember how you wanted to be treated by your parents? When you were marrying, you know, when you were marrying and you wanted to marry a certain sister or a brother, I'm not saying do unlawful Islamic activities, but when you were marrying and you had certain criterias in marriage, you wanted a brother who had these qualities and not those qualities, and you wanted certain qualities within a potential spouse, right? When you were marrying, you wanted a certain type of girl. You didn't want to marry this type of girl and that type of girl, and you wanted your parents to kind of at least listen to you and take your concerns into consideration. Now you've become a father or a mother, and then you're just saying, no, you're not having none of it. That's it whatsoever. Marry my sister's son, my brother's daughter back home in the same city, in the same village, or maybe in the same street and alleyway. You know, I mean, you have to be reasonable. The way you wanted to be treated by your parents, now you've become parents. Think for a moment. Put yourself in the shoes of the children. Likewise the children. Same scenario. Same scenario. You are children right now. There'll be a time that you will be married and you'll have your own children. The way you're dealing with your mother, the way you're dealing with your father, the way you're disrespecting them, treating them in such a way that you're slandering them, swearing them. Imagine, the moment you feel like saying anything bad, Allah says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not even say a word of contempt. Do not even say a word of contempt. Uffin. Don't even say like, you know, some children are like, oh, you know, why are you telling me for? Man, you know, your dad tells you something, oh, no man, not even that. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْن وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them in gentle, noble terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. So, right now, your children, you're a son or a daughter, but remember, you'll be married and then you'll have your own son. The way you treat your parents, your children will treat you. How do you want your children to treat you? Treat your parents like that. If you are being unreasonable, you are marrying someone that you know is really ideally not an ideal person. Imagine one day your own daughter wants to marry someone who's totally unreasonable. Then you'll become different. And that's the problem. When we are children, we don't remember being a you know, we don't think about being a parent. When we're parents, we don't think about being a child. A landlord never thinks, even though he's remained a tenant, but he'll never think about what being a tenant feels like. When a landlord becomes a landlord, despite him being a tenant and remaining a tenant in his life, he completely forgets how it feels to be a tenant. And a tenant totally does not remember or realize what it feels to be a landlord. Likewise, an employer and an employee. Husband and a wife, even though you can't remain a husband and then become a wife, but what that feeling is to be on the other side of the fence. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, the oldest problem in the world. This is the reason, this is the main cause of family disputes. You know, our societies and communities are gripped with disputes between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Why? Because we're not acting upon this principle. The mother-in-law, when she was a daughter-in-law, she only knew about the rights of being a daughter-in-law. When she became a mother-in-law, now she's used another standard. The mother-in-law would think, you were a daughter-in-law a time ago. It wasn't too long ago. Think, how did you want to be treated when you were a daughter-in-law? How would you want your mother-in-law to treat you? Seriously, how would you want your mother-in-law to treat you? Treat your daughter-in-law like in the same manner. But we forget, the mother-in-law will forget how it feels like being a daughter-in-law, right? And the same thing with a daughter-in-law. You're a daughter-in-law right now, but remember, not too far away, you've got a 5-year-old kid. This is another 10-15 years. That son, beautiful son of yours, will get married, will bring a wife into the house. Same scenario. You know, how do you want your daughter-in-law to treat you? Be like that with your mother-in-law. This is a famous, you know, it's a basic, it's not rocket science. It's just a basic principle, which is taken out from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ahibba li akhika ma tuhibba li nafsika. أحب للناس ما تحب لنفسك لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You cannot be a complete believer until you do not like for your fellow Muslims and humanity what you like for your own self. And this is the major root cause for many of our disputes. Being selfish, being self-centered, thinking about one's own self. That's the major root cause. And the solution is what? Solution is ithar, giving preference to other people, putting one's own self in the shoes and the boots of the other, and think how we would want to be treated, right? How we would want to be treated. And that's the solution. And this is actually taken from the hadith. You know, there's this verse, and I actually read this verse when I talked about monetary issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, in the last juice of the Quran, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَّفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says, وَيْلٌ, destruction, woe unto be. وَيْلٌ, وَادٍ فِي جَهَنَّمَ, according to بَعْضُ الْمُفَسِرِينَ. وَيْلٌ means you will enter a valley in hellfire. Destruction and the punishment of the hellfire be unto al-mutaffifin. Waylul lil-mutaffifin. The people of Tatfif. Who are the people of Tatfif? Allah then elaborates, He explains to us, and He tells us. He says, Alladhina idha katalu ala nasi yastawfoon. These are the people that when they have to take and receive from people by way of measurement, they make sure they take every grain, every part. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when they have to give other people, when they have to give others by way of measurement and weight, then they give less. This is again the relationship between a shopkeeper and a customer. When you're a shopkeeper, when you're selling, put yourself in the shoes of the buyer. When you're a buyer, put yourself for a moment in the shoe of the seller. The Messenger, the verse in the Quran which Allah is saying, that these people are such, destruction unto be these people of Tatfif. What do? They, when they have to receive and take grain, rice, vegetables, whatever, fruits, when they have to take by way of measurement, when they're receiving, they'll make sure, you know, they'll say, look, the meat is not on, look, it's a bit less, you know. You go to some shops, you know, seriously, some people arguing sometimes, absolutely ridiculous stuff, honestly. Like, I went to once a shop, but literally, I am not making this up, seriously, I am not making this up. You know, I heard, and I witnessed, and I saw with my own eyes, a heated debate, an argumentation, a massive argument, like it was close to fists being thrown, right? Over what? Over one penny. I'm not making this up. Seriously, over one penny. The change was less, a penny. And he said, you gave me one penny less. No, I gave you proper change. No, I gave you, no, but you gave me this much, but I gave you change back. You said, there was 10 pence here. Look, no, you give me 8. Because no, I gave you 9. Because you gave me 8 here. And like, proper argumentation. I was like, oh, subhanAllah. In the shops, you go, I mean, it's so unfortunate. We talk about these things, we know, but you know, like as I said the other day, I gave a talk here 2 weeks ago, right in the beginning of Ramadan, the importance of not fighting and arguing and disputes and friction, and you know what? Straight after doing iftar and maghrib here, I just went outside, and the first thing I saw was like two people having a massive fight and arguing, fists being... These people came out of masjid, I won't tell you which masjid, after iftar, fasting the whole day. I mentioned this last week to you, or the week before. They opened their fast, they made dua to Allah, they performed the Salatul Maghrib, 3 rak'at of Maghrib, Sunnah, out on the road, and there's a scuffle, and people had to separate them. What benefit is there in fasting all day? What benefit? There's no benefit. Seriously. Islam, you know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. This is a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Fasting is not just to stay away and abstain from food and drink. إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ. The real fasting is مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. Abstaining from futile conversation, obscene language. So, even in the shops, seller, put yourself in the boots and the shoes of the buyer. Purchaser. Purchaser, put yourself in the shoes of the seller, the shopkeeper. You know, there's this one hadith, long hadith, I don't have time, but I'll just mention, just briefly, that there was this one person who was forgiven. Somebody saw, I think it was in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, I can't recall it clearly, that he mentioned that there was a person whom had certain sins, but Allah forgave him. When he went to the next life, when he passed away, Allah forgave him. You know why? The reason why Allah forgave him and all his sins were forgiven, because he was samhan idha ba'a, samhan idha ishtara. That he, when he used to buy, he used to be extremely gentle and cordial and courteous. And when he used to sell, he used to likewise be extremely cordial, extremely courteous, and show manners and be polite in buying and selling. And that's the reason why Allah forgave him. Look at this verse. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يَخْسِرُونَ. Allah says, when it's their time to take through measurement and weight, they take fully. They ask for every penny. But when it's their time to give, then, you know, you might give a change and you might say, let me get over here, the penny here, there, penny there, you know. Penny accumulates, right? And that's what people do that. Penny less, penny there, less penny here, and a less penny there. By the end of the day, you might have a pound. So, Allah says, and then He mentions this, and then listen to what Allah says. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Don't these people realize that they'll be resurrected? لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. They'll be resurrected on the big day. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On the day when the humanity, whole of humanity, mankind, will stand up before the Lord of the worlds. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And we will have to give hisab and account for every penny, for every right that we owe to other people. This is the quality of ithar. The fifth cause which we are talking about today of family disputes is being selfish, is being self-centered. It's only thinking about our own rights. It's only thinking about our own selves. All the relationships that we have, the relationships between them, employer-employee, landlord-tenant, parents-children, husband-wife, yeah, teacher-student. If you're a teacher, the way you treat your students, for one moment in time, think, when you were a student, how did you want your ustad, your teacher, to treat you? And likewise, a student, think, when you become a teacher, how would you want you, as a teacher, to be respected and, you know, obeyed and listened to? And how you would want your students to be punctual, right? So, employer-employee relationship, tenant-landlord relationship, parents-children relationship, husband-wife relationship, teacher-student relationship, mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship, siblings, brothers and sisters, their relationship, every relationship that we find ourselves in. Our principal qa'idah that we work upon and base our life on is ahibba, hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahibba li nafsika, ahibba li nasi ma tuhibba li nafsika, love for humanity, mankind, what you love for yourself. We cannot be complete believers until we don't love for others what we like for our own selves. And this is the quality of ithar. We need to bring about this quality of ithar. We need to bring about this quality of giving preference to other people. You know that this quality of ithar is an amazing quality. The Sahaba had this quality. You know the definition of ithar. We said selfishness. Selfishness and self-centeredness. The opposite of that is what? The opposite of that is ithar. Giving preference to other people. And I'll mention to you, you know the definition of ithar is one tolerates a bit of hardship for the sake of others. That's the definition. You should write this down. Ithar means a person tolerates a bit of hardship and difficulty in this world for the sake of others. It's okay, I'll undergo a bit of hardship. I'll take a bit of hardship. I'll exercise sabr. Seriously, that's the definition of ithar. That I don't think about my own desires, my own wishes and hopes and my own desires, my own interests. My own interests are not at the forefront. In my heart and mind are the interests, the desires, the well-being of other people before my own well-being. I'm not too concerned about my own well-being, but I am more concerned about the well-being of other people. This is the quality of ithar. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There's a hadith in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates. Famous incident, you must have heard of this. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates and reports. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, a guest came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will entertain him? So a Ansari Sahabi, a companion from the Ansari, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'll take him home, I'll feed him. When he went home, his wife said, you know what, we don't have too much food. We only have food for one person. He says, okay, you know what we'll do, no problem. He said, look, you know the children, whatever, just do something and make the children go to sleep. She said, we only have a bit of food at home, we don't have food. It's difficult. If the guest eats, then our children will not be able to eat. We will remain hungry. He said, it's okay, no problem. Just let the children go to sleep and make them go to sleep in some way, shape or another. So, he made the children go to sleep. And then he called the guest and he placed the food on the spread and sat down and showed that, it was intentional. The light or the lamp that was on, he switched it off. He hit it, so it fell on the floor and the light was put out. And he pretended that it was done accidentally, but it wasn't. So it was complete darkness. And he sat with his guest, pretending to eat, and just making noises and, doing that, pretending he's eating and talking away. And the guest, subhanAllah, thought that, his host is eating, but he wasn't eating until the guest ate properly and, was filled with food and was, alhamdulillah, satisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this quality of the sahabi so much that he revealed a verse in the Qur'an, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. These companions, these sahaba radiallahu anhum, are such that they give preference to other people, even if they have to remain hungry themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. They give preference to others, even if that means that they have to remain hungry themselves. SubhanAllah, these are the habits and attributes of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the quality of ithar, tolerating a bit of hardship for the sake of others. That's the definition. That's the definition of ithar. Imam Malik radiallahu anhu reports in his Mu'atta that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Once a miskeen, a poor person, came to ask her, a beg on the door. She only had one chapati and she was fasting that day. The beggar came, she gave the chapati. She had a khadima, a servant of her. The servant said, Aisha radiallahu anha, well, you know, you only had one chapati at home, you only have one chapati and you have a fast. How will you do iftar? You've given that away as well. She said, still, no, give it, Allah will provide. Because she saw that the beggar was extremely hungry. She thought to herself that, you know what, I'll tolerate a bit of hardship for the sake of this poor beggar. Let the poor beggar be satisfied and I'll go undergo hardship and difficulty. Tolerate, this is what we call ithar. You know the famous incident as well, time is very short. I don't have the time to go into the detail, but in the Battle of Yarmouk, you know when all the shuhada, all the martyrs were lying and they were all close to death. One of the companions, he took a bit of water to his uncle and he said, do you want a bit of water? He said, yeah, give me some water. And just when he was just about to give the water, he heard someone else laying next to him who was asking and begging for water. Thirsty, he said, go and take it to him. He took it to him, and whilst he was just about to give it, he heard the sound of another sahabi in the Battle of Yarmouk, gasping for water. He said, take it to my brother. He took it to him, and then somebody else was in need. He said, take it to my brother. He went to the fourth person, and the fourth person, as he reached him, and he had, you know, he took his last breath, and he was a martyr, and he left this world. He took the water to the second one, went back to the first one. Every one of them had passed away and was a martyr. They could have drank water, but each one of them, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, was delegating and transferring, this person and telling this individual to move over and go to the next Sahabi, to the next Sahabi, to the next Sahabi, giving preference to others and tolerating hardship. This is what we call ithar. And this was an incident as well regarding which this incident and the story of, you know, when the Sahabi was eating and pretending to eat and accidentally pulling the light out, the lamp out and eating, both of these two incidents regarding these two other incidents because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. These are such people that they tolerate hardship, they give preference to others, even if they have to remain hungry themselves. Subhanallah. And that's the quality of ithar. And you know what, I'm going to end on this, brothers and sisters. As parents, for the sake of Allah, you know what? Bring this habit of ithar. Create this shawq, this desire, this zeal of ithar, even in your young children. You know when you have small children, because small children, you have a 4-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter, they're snatching from each other toys, or they want, from a young age, seriously, wallahi, work on them from a young age. If you have young children, teach them in a nice way. It's a very important time to inculcate and drill into the hearts and minds of our young children good noble qualities and good habits. So listen, tell them, give them sometimes, you know, something in their hand. Give them a £5 note and say, go and put this and give this to the poor person. There's a beggar, or there's a poor person, or there's a box of sadaqah, let them donate. For example, if they're fighting, say, no, look, you know, your brother, you should give something to your brother. Give your baby sister, go on, in a nice way. Give them toys and say, look, now, look, for the sake of Allah, Allah will be happy with you. We are in this world, you know, we take hardships, but we want good for others. You should want your, you know, younger sister to be more happy. You'll get rewarded. Allah will give you in other ways and means. So go on, this toy, go and give to your four-year-old sister. Bring this habit from a young age. If we drill and instill the quality of ithar in our young children from a young age, between brothers and sisters, subhanallah, you will see the love between them that will remain and exist until they are young, and when they become slightly old, when they become teenagers, when they reach middle age, and even when they become old, when their parents pass away, you'll see that brotherhood and sisterhood within the family. You see an atmosphere of love. They will be ready to tolerate hardship for the sake of their blood brother, for the sake of their sibling, for the sake of their blood sister. From a young age, create this desire of ithar, this quality, this noble quality of ithar. So I'm going to end with this, inshallah, brothers and sisters. Jazakallah khair for listening today. So the fourth cause that we talked about and we finished, the fourth major reason why we have disputes and problems within the family is because of what? Selfishness. The solution is, inshallah, we have and we create and we bring about and we instill and we drill into our own selves and into our young children the amazing, noble quality of ithar, which was the quality of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving preference to other people, tolerating a bit of hardship for the sake of others, and we give preference to others. We always put ourselves in the shoes of others. Jazakallah khair for listening. Inshallah, if you practice upon this, many of our disputes, family problems, and disputes would end, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, with the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.